morning. Waking you up on Thursday, December 11th. Got a cloudy sky right now, 9 above. My guest this hour, everybody's favorite historian. I say that because I always get a good laugh out of you when I do that. Janet Gageland in talking some history here. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How we doing?
Good, good.
I want to tell you your fudge around here, your Christmas fudge, didn't last long.
Oh,
yeah.
Got to the break room?
And then it just went.
Okay, well, good.
So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah,
good
stuff. Glad to share.
So, the holiday is good to you so far?
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
We're talking Orioles today.
Yeah.
Not the cookie.
No, not the cookie.
No.
No.
The bird.
The bird.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been working in 1925 because it's 100 years back. And in 1925, and even before that, Wahpeton had a conservatory of music. It was located at the college. Prior to that, it was a few downtown locations. And so the arts were kind of alive and well, you know.
No kidding.
In the little small town of Wahpeton. You know, they brought with them their cultures and the things that they thought were important when they moved here.
Sure.
So there were some high school students who were taking lessons. And these the people who were giving lessons were very professional. They weren't like, just a little instructor. They were professors.
Higher standard.
Yeah, absolutely. So these high school students were taking lessons, and in early 1925, they said, well, you know, we should put an orchestra together. So they put an orchestra together, and it was called the Orioles.
The Orioles.
Yes. How that came about, I don't know. Maybe they thought they sounded like birds.
Well, singing like birds, yeah.
Yeah. So they had the oldest member of the group was a senior in high school, and he was kind of like the leader, Roland Chesney, and he played the violin and the banjo. Yeah. And then Lucille Williams was a senior also, and she played the piano and accordion.
Wow. Eclectic mix.
Yes. And then they recruited George Chesney, which, you know, Roland's brother. So he was the drummer. And a couple of them from Breckenridge, a couple students from there, Henry Crowder and Dorothy Hart.
All right.
Her father owned a restaurant in Breckenridge.
Okay.
Okay, so they were from Breck, and they were the vocalists. And then once in a while, they had a few other people join them if somebody was gone, or they just, oh, yeah, let's play with us, whatever. So they played all around the community. They played in Webster, South Dakota, Ortonville, Fergus Falls, Graceville, Tyler, Fargo.
The Orioles on tour.
Yes.
I love this.
They toured, and they played some of their own original music. Mm-hmm. They wrote a couple pieces. One was called The Oriole Twitter. I tried to find that on the internet, but
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if you could even find the sheet music, you know, it'd be hard. But and then they had another one called The Classic Blues. So, again.
Which was classic blues,
yeah,
I assume.
Yeah. So, assuming that all of these instruments that they could play, mm-hmm. they could probably do a lot of different things. You know? And the people loved them. They were just a real good dance orchestra. But they were young, and they had a lot of enthusiasm. They even played on WDAY three times.
On Party Line?
It wasn't called Party Line. It was just WDAY.
WDAY, okay.
Yeah. So, they just had businesses that would sponsor them. So the first time they played, they were sponsored by Seifert Jewelry, Music, and Radio Store. So Seifert Jewelry did not just sell jewelry. They sold...
Really?
Yep, they sold radios, they sold instruments. They even had a little sarsaparilla bar. It was very...
Diversified.
Very much so. Yeah. So they were sponsored by them.
Okay.
Which I thought was quite cool.
Very.
You know, that, you know, you need a local person and see for jewelry, and people would just stop at the jewelry and not think about, oh, yeah, music and the radios that they sold.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. I just thought it was strictly jewelry.
I know. It's a long history to that particular location and
store.
Yeah. So anyway, they were on for three different times. I think Hart's Cafe from Breck actually sponsored them one time. So I did a little more research into the Oriole Orchestra, and I found that there was another Oriole Orchestra. It played out of Chicago, but they were very famous, and they, you know, didn't have to travel to Tyler or, you know, some little town.
They were more on the world stage.
They were, yes. And I thought, oh boy, I wonder if this was a conflict between the two Orioles. Did they know one another? You know, so our Orioles were playing as a group from 1925, 26, and about the middle of 27, they were done. And I think that was because Roland, the guy who got it started, graduated from high school. And then he went to UND, and then he would come back and play once in a while with them. And then Lucille went to Minneapolis area and enrolled in another music conservatory. So she was, you know, working on her skills. And so she would come back. And then the younger ones just didn't probably have the interest in keeping it going. So
they always say in bands, life happens, and that's usually what busts a band up. It's just life and everybody going their separate ways.
Yeah, I think
talk about right. Trailblazers. Holy smokes.
Well, I did read one little article. It just kind of popped out of the newspaper, and it was from the principal superintendent of the school, the high school, and said, our students need to spend more time on their schoolwork and less time on being in this orchestra.
Dancing out with the Orioles.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great story.
It was fun.
And you think of how many bands, you know, since have just come out of the Twin Towns. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But again, Trailblazers.
Right.
And this is probably where it all started.
But orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was in itself very unique.
And a music conservatory here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was out at the college.
Yeah.
Wow,
yep.
Fascinating stuff.
And those guys, I mean, they played like more than one instrument, you know. And I'm sure George was a drummer, but he probably had some vocals in there too.
Sure.
You never know.
Multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah,
that's very much fun. That's a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Jan, what's next week?
Well, you know, we're going to try to kind of wrap up the, you know, 1925 so that we can have an ending. So I've got some potpourri type stuff.
Fantastic.
So great some segment. Fun stuff, I think.
Jana Gageland, always great to have you in here.
Good to be here.
Stay warm.
Oh, yeah.
We will talk next Thursday. It's 8:17 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW, good morning.
Innovation is transforming sugar beet farming. At Beta Seed, we're using advances in science to optimize the potential of every seed you plant. Our state-of-the-art breeding and testing process takes up to 10 years. It's the only way to ensure the hybrid your Beta Seed rep recommends has the best traits to manage this.